our evangelist, Reverend Beth Stevens Johnson. Give her a big Westmoreland welcome. Hallelujah. She's fired up and ready to preach. Amen.
Wow. Well, what a blessing it is already to be here and be in the house of the Lord with you and to worship with you. Amen. What a wonderful, the presence of the Lord is so wonderful here already. And we just give the Lord praise for that, don't we? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just am so thankful, Pastor Nelson, for you letting me come today and be a part of these services, being in the area. I thought Sister Janice Marshburn called me, and I was doing the women's conference for her. And do you want to, you want me to quit?
No. I'm just going to make a little, we know the drill here, but for those of you that aren't on at Westmoreland, we're going to bless her with a basket full of blessings. If you're writing a check, make it out to Westmoreland, and we'll give her one love offering from this church. We want her to go away from here loaded down. There's the bag level, there's the barrel level, there's the basket level, there's the bond level.
Wow.
We headed to the bond, but not for Daddy to wear us out, but for Father to bless us. Hallelujah. Sister Ben. Just as she's preaching, speaking, just take your liberties and bring your offering unto the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank y'all. I thought, well, I think he's wanting to say something, so I thought I better hush up. Well, thank you. I appreciate your giving, and I appreciate you being just faithful to the word of the Lord. And I can tell you, when we're faithful to the word of the Lord will bless us in abundance. The word tells us so, and so thank you. It's quite humbling to stand here and you do that. So I thank you. I appreciate you. Amen. Sister Janice had told me, she said, since you're going to be preaching the women's conference this weekend, would you like to stay and go to a church in the area? And I said, well, sure, I would. I said, I'd love to if you know somewhere that would be okay with me coming. And so she said, I do. I know just the place. And she said, I'll call you back. Let me see. And she said, she called me back and told me where. And I thought, well, I don't know a lot of the churches in the area. And so I thought, well, I hope she didn't have to beg him to let me come. I hope he's okay with it. And so it means a lot that you would let me come, Pastor. So much thank y'all. And excited about what's ahead. Amen. And for tonight, thank the Lord. I'm really looking forward to both of these services. And already the presence of the Lord is so wonderful. Thank you for your giving. It means so much to me. Thank you for that. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. And while you're turning there, I'll just have to say real quickly, there's nothing any more difficult for me, I know it sounds kind of foolish, but than to watch myself on the screen. And so I can tell you I was quite uncomfortable there for a few minutes, but I was grateful. The Lord opened the opportunity up to have that video. And you don't realize how raspy your voice sounds till you hear yourself like that. And I thought, my goodness, my voice is used. That is for sure. But there's no better way to use it than for the glory of God. Amen. So I'm perfectly fine with that. Somebody said I'd rather be used up than to rust out. And that's exactly how I feel. Amen. And I want to go ahead and say along with Pastor, Kurt was probably at the product table, setting the product table up when Pastor was talking about some of the upcoming events. Pastor, I was also blessed, not with a son that gave me a gun, but with a husband that gave me the judge. And so I've got the judge. And I'm like you, I trust the Lord to keep me safe. For Christmas one year, there's nothing like your husband giving you a gun. Amen. Don't think for one minute, though, I was sad about it. I've enjoyed it already. They're having a big thing at somebody's house or property, a shootout, I think is what Pastor called it, a shootout. I love that. So be careful. Kurt might show up. He'd love that. He would. That's right up his alley. but also for your upcoming events. I wish I did live close by that I could be here for Pastor Trey that's going to be here, and Nick. I've come to know Nick, and I'm at South Henderson. We're going to be there in several, maybe a couple of months, and what two mighty men of God. And so you've got some awesome things coming up that I believe the Lord is just going to move in a mighty way. So I'm encouraging, along with Pastor, take those cards and give them out, because people will be blessed and ministered to. And we're believing, as the two songs have already said that you guys have sung, is that the Lord's going to break chains off of people's lives. Amen. In Jesus' name, we believe that. Praise the Lord. So I'm just glad today to get to be a part of what the Lord is doing here. It means a lot to me. I want to share with you from Acts chapter 16, a familiar scripture, familiar message, but maybe some things that the Lord will enlighten us with on a message, scripture that you've probably heard many times before, but I believe that He's going to open up our hearts to some things that are brand new. Pastor, I thought about you and some of the visions, I guess, for the church that you have for the families. You and, of course, your wife. And I still say brother and sister. Some places I go, they don't like for me to do that anymore. But I just feel like we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. I don't think there's nothing hardly better that you can call somebody is a brother or sister in the Lord. Amen. So I'll say Sister Nelson, if you're okay with that. But I was thinking about the vision that you have for this area and this church, and about families and how powerful that is. And I want to share some things with you in these verses that I believe will only back up the vision of your pastor. And so let me begin sharing. Let's begin in verse 23 is where we'll start, and we'll go down to probably about verse 33 or 34 or something like that. And let's see what God wants to speak to us today. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 23. And it says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed." Amen. "And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his straightway." And let me just read the last one, verse 34. "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Amen. That's powerful, isn't it? Amen. So powerful. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's just trust the Lord today just to direct my thoughts and the words that I speak out today, and a fresh anointing as I deliver this word, but also for every one of us here, that we will receive the word of the Lord with gladness. Amen. Would you just pray aloud with me today? Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you and I give you praise for what you have already started in this house, in this service, Lord. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you that already the chains have begun to fall in this place to be destroyed in this house. And Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you in advance for what you're going to do in the remaining part of this service. And tonight, we give you all the praise and the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody shout out, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get you to do one thing. Well, I'm going to grab your water. Amen. And I want you to turn around to two or three people and just tell them how glad you are to see them today. Would you just take one more minute to do that? Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was wonderful. I wanted to say this, to be with Sister Darnell this weekend as she's on the ladies board, I guess is what you'd call it, the WM board. And wonderful to be with her. And I'm telling you, you've got a great conference. The North Carolina Conference is a great conference, great leadership people. And so I'm thankful again for this opportunity. But let's go right to the word of the Lord and see what the Lord wants to speak to us today. Concerning this, knowing that it's Palm Sunday, probably one of my favorite Sundays, one of the favorites of the year, but honestly, I can't really put my finger on any of them and say they're my very favorite, but I love what this day represents. It's exciting to me. And knowing what it's leading up to, we know what it's leading up to. Now, I know in the Bible, when we read about it, I don't know if they had any idea of exactly what was about to take place. We know. And what a day Easter's coming up and what that means to us, Resurrection Day. And what a blessing today. Amen. I'm so excited. This year, actually, I get to preach on Good Friday at a local church where we live. And I just can't hardly wait. It's a wonderful time of the year, isn't it? To get to preach and to share the word of the Lord and to see lives changed. But today, I chose this message today. The Lord just kind of put it on my heart as I was praying about what to preach. But also, knowing what this day was about, as the people began to praise and to shout out, Hosanna. And I began to think about the need today for the people of God to understand the power that is in their praise. Amen. The need today for the people of the Lord to realize how powerful it is to praise Him in the house of the Lord, how important it is right here in this building or wherever it is that you may go to church. If this is not your home church and you're visiting today, it doesn't matter. But how important it is to praise Him in His house, but also today, how important it is to praise Him, not just when you're with other believers, but also when you're going through those dark times of your lives. Also, when you're going through those experiences in your life that seems like it couldn't get any worse. Those times in your life, those seasons that you feel like it's just a winter season that you're in. I believe today the Lord wants to speak to us a word about the power that is in our praise even in those dark times. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have to say to you today, Sister Nelson came up to me and she said, we're just thankful it didn't snow today. Well, I had no idea how cold it was going to be. I mean, I looked it up and I went down for some breakfast this morning and I was listening to the news was on and the weather report was on and they were talking about a little snow here, a little snow mixed here and ice here. I thought, what in the world? I had no idea about how cold it really was. And so certainly we should be able to understand a prolonged winter season. Amen. That's what it feels like. Just a prolonged winter season in the natural. But sometimes we go through what feels like a prolonged winter season in our spiritual life as well. And so when I'm looking here, I see Paul and Silas and I don't know if it felt like that to them or not, but possibly so. Possibly a difficult season. It had to be. One of the reasons that I know that without a doubt is because when I look at the word of the Lord and we begin to dig into it, and in verse 23, I'm just going to take a few minutes and look at it, and I want to lay a little foundation, a little bit of a groundwork here. And it says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them. So in other words, those that had found them ministering and sharing the gospel, the government of that day went in and caught them, found them doing that. And the Bible says here that they began to beat them. That's what it says. Many stripes were laid upon them. They were beaten unmercifully. A lot of times we think of people with stripes on their back. We often only think of Jesus. And certainly he did. He was beaten for our healing. And I'm so thankful today that he was willing to do that. But also we find here that Paul and Silas were beaten unmercifully. A horrible situation that they were in. And the word that I want you to notice there is it says many stripes. Many stripes were laid upon them. And it says, and then they were cast into prison. So notice that again, when I begin to study that, that word cast is a, it's a strong word. It's a forceful word. So here they are. They've been beaten and now they've been cast into prison. And then notice it says, and then the jailer was charged. They told him, they said, whatever you do, you'd better keep these guys safe. Don't you dare let them out. Don't you dare let anything happen where they can escape. You'd better keep your eye on these guys. And when I began to think about that, I'm telling you, it just thrilled my heart. And let me tell you why. It thrilled my heart because I began to think why it was that they were so worried about what could happen to those men. And I began to think back to Acts chapter 12 where Simon Peter was in prison and the church began to pray and call on the name of the Lord. And do you remember what happened? The doors began to swing open and Simon Peter walked out of those prison doors, amen, by the help of the Lord, by the an angel that came and delivered him. And I believe that they said, you remember that Simon Peter? He got out of this prison and we can't take another risk. I believe they looked all the way back though and they said, and you remember that other man? We crucified him. We hung him on a tree. We put his dead body in a borrowed tomb. We put a stone over the door. Amen. But somehow or another, 3 days later, we go back and look, and there was no body to be found. There is something going on with this group of people. Amen. And whatever you do, you'd better keep these guys in this prison. Amen. I believe they said we can't risk it again. We cannot take another prisoner getting free and the uproar that it would cause. I believe they began to look around and say, whatever you do, we've got to keep this thing under wraps. Amen. But I want you to know today, we serve a Lord. We serve the only God. Amen. We serve the Master who has the key to every lock that the enemy will try to keep you bound with today. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. And no matter what your winter season may look like, I can assure you God is moving in the middle of it. Amen. God is moving in the middle of it. Woo! Praise the Lord. So when I begin to look, I'm telling you, it just thrills my heart. When I begin to look at that, and it makes me laugh, just to be honest with you, that they would even look and tell that jailer, keep them safe, whatever you do, keep them safe. And then it says in verse 24, it says who, talking about the jailer, when he received such a charge, well, he got worried about the whole thing. And the Bible says that he got him, and then he thrust them into the inner prison. And again, I look at that word thrust and it's a forceful word. So first they were cast, a forceful word. They're cast, they're pushed. And then we see them thrust into that inner prison. What is the inner prison? Well, it's a place in the prison that's, of course, it's pretty self-explanatory, but I want you to understand the details of it. It's in the inner part of the prison where there's no light from the outside. There's no fresh air coming in. It's a damp area. I can imagine it's a smelly area, just to be honest with you. I can imagine that. I think about this oftentimes. My mother, she is the Clorox queen. I mean, she is going to, if it can be clean, she's going to put Clorox on it. And she's going to sanitize it. I mean, it's nothing for us to walk into her house. And you can tell she's been cleaning because the Clorox is out. But there was nobody that went into that prison cell and Cloroxed it and sanitized it before Paul and Silas was cast into this inner prison. So I want you to just get to get the vision of what it was probably like. I'm sure it was stinking and smelling. I'm sure it was filthy and nasty. I'm sure when they got into that inner prison, they were hurting in such a way because their backs had been split open as they had been beaten unmercifully. Think about it for just a moment. I think about the blood. Their backs were probably bloody. I think I can imagine, not to get too gruesome with you, but I can imagine they were probably oozing and hurting, and nobody said, "Can I give you some Advil? Can I clean you up? Can I wrap your back up? Can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you?" Nobody did that. They were pushing it, and they were thrusting them into the inner prison. And then notice what else it says. It said he thrust them into the inner prison, and then he made their feet fast in stocks. So you got to keep in mind what's going on. Here's these two men of God. They've not done anything except what God had told them to do. Here they are. They've been beaten unmercifully. They've been pushed around in a horrible way. I can imagine they're in so much excruciating pain. And now they put their feet fast in the stocks. And when I looked into the commentary, it was really interesting. I read after one writer, and he said many times during that era, during that period, if they were ever put into prison and their feet were in stocks, many times they would even put a spear and it would be pointing and poking right in their back. So there's no way for them to lean back, because if they did, the spear would go through them. So there was no way they could get comfortable. There was no way they could get any kind of ease in their bodies whatsoever. I'm telling you all of this and taking time on this morning to explain that to you, because I want you to know, before the miracle happened in their lives, they were in a dark place. They were not in a wonderful church building like we're in, with all of the music and all of the instruments and the wonderful singers and soloists. And they didn't have it. They didn't have a wonderful sound system or heat and air or anything like this. It was a difficult place in their lives. And if we're not careful, we will take this lesson here from Acts 16, that we should worship him in the church. Well, that is certainly the truth, and we should. But it lets us know here that it's not just among other believers that we should begin to praise the Lord, but it's in our darkest hour. It's in our deepest valley. Amen. It's in that midnight place, and in that winter season of our lives, that it is absolutely imperative that you and I continue to praise the Lord, and not just continue, but to praise him all the more. Amen. All the more at that point in your life. Amen. So I begin to look at what happens here. Woo! And I see it there in verse 25, and it says, "And at midnight." You're not going to get any darker than midnight. And a lot of times when you think about that word midnight, we think about 12 a.m. But I can tell you today, 3 p.m. can be a midnight hour for you. I can promise you today, it could be the month of February that might have been your midnight hour. So even though the Bible calls it midnight, there are a lot of times in our lives that we could claim that was our midnight hour. And notice it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed." Amen. Now, you all know I love to preach on prayer. Amen. I did Friday night. The Lord just burdens my heart with that. But I want to move ahead today. And it says Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises unto God and the prisoners heard them. You say, really? Now, what time of the day was it? Was it 12 p.m.? Was it noon? Was it during a great time of their life? They're praying and singing praises. Are you serious? I'm telling you something today. There is a truth here that if you're not careful, you'll look right over it. But I've already said it. I want to say it again. But I believe what this word is teaching us, there is a time that we should praise Him. And I believe it's more important to praise Him during this time than any other time. And it is in that dark, low place of your life. I imagine that Paul and Silas, I don't know if they were in the same cells. I don't know if they were maybe a couple of cells apart. I don't know if they're in the same. I don't know how it might have been back then. But all I know is they're beaten and they're bruised and they're bleeding and they're pretty nasty. And I can imagine their feet are in the stocks, possibly a spear behind their back. I can imagine they're probably bent over a little bit with the pain that's searing through their bodies. And all of a sudden it's so dark. And Silas says to Paul, he says, you know, Paul, I just feel like that maybe we ought to pray a little bit. And Paul says, you know, I was already thinking about it. Let's just pray. And I can imagine as they begin to say, God, you are good. And this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice even in this day and be glad. Amen. Already the prisoners are going, are we hearing those guys? Is that the guys that they just brought in? Is that the guys who's been bloodied up and all a mess? Could that? And they're praying, oh God, you are awesome. We worship you. And then all of a sudden, Silas said, and you know what? I just feel a little tune coming up in my heart. Amen. I just feel a little tune beginning to roll around in my heart. And Paul says, well, my goodness, Silas, he said, go ahead and sing it. I don't have the tambourine with me. He said, but I can pat my leg just a little bit. I can't pat my toe because they got my feet in the stocks. But I might can get a little bit of a rhythm going on. Go ahead and you start it. And I'm going to join in. And I can hear Silas say, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. You know it. And I believe that Paul said, well, sing it one more time. I'm feeling something happening in this place. And I believe Paul joined right in. They sang it again. I have no doubt that they sang it again. And you say, how do you know? I'll tell you. I read after a writer one time and he said it like this, and it was so awesome. I just like to repeat it. I wish I'd have thought about it myself. Amen. But that writer said, I can just about see God stand up in heaven and begin to tap His toe. Amen. And the singers began to sing and they began to give praises to the Lord. And the Lord begins to tap His toe. You say, why do you say that? Well, let me keep on reading. Because it says in verse 26, and suddenly, amen, I love that word. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. Hallelujah. I can just imagine today the praises of the Lord going to heaven. And the Lord said, I like what I'm hearing. And as He began to tap His toe, heaven and earth began to shake all the way down to that prison. And the foundations of the prison started shaking where those men were. You say, Beth, why should I praise Him in my darkest day? It's because when you began to praise Him, amen, the chains began to break and the foundations began to shake and people's bands are loosed. Amen. And it happens through praise. Woo! Hallelujah. It happens through praise. I want to show you something today. You may say, well, Beth, I don't mind praising Him, and I don't mind just telling God how good He is, but I do have a problem doing that when I'm in my dark hour. But I'm telling you, I'm showing you in the Word how important it is. And you say, well, I'll try to do that, but is it necessary for me to be as loud as you are? Amen. Is it necessary for me to be vocal in my praise? Is it necessary for all of that? Well, let me just clear this up with you right now. It's important. There are some things that you can do in your heart. There are some things that you can say under your breath. But when it comes to praise, praise is always vocal. Amen. When it comes to praise, it is always outward. Hallelujah. You say, well, Beth, I'm just not that kind of person. I'm just a little more intimidated than that. I'm not real good at doing things like that. But let's just clear this up real quickly. It's kind of like me and Kurt. Y'all know we've not been married quite 5 years. I mean, it's hard to believe, but not even quite 5 years. He feels like he's been married for an eternity right now. Poor soul. Amen. But I can tell you something, that even if I was a quiet person, even if maybe I was not the kind of exuberant personality that I am, kind of passionate, I'm loud, I understand that. But even if I wasn't, but I love Kurt, what a terrible thing it would be in our relationship if I never verbalized and vocalized how much he means to me, how dear he is to my heart. You know what I mean today? And it's one thing to tell him that, but it's another thing when I can stand up here and tell other people. I like to tell people at Walmart, I said, yeah, I've not been married long, and God sent me just the man of my dreams. I'm telling you, I'm so thankful I waited. He's worth the wait. You say, do you say all of that? I do. You know why? Because I love him. Amen. I'm thankful for him. Well, listen, what has the Lord done for me and you? What did the Lord do for us at Calvary? How has the Lord delivered us and set us free? You may say, I'm not loud like you. That's okay. You may not be as loud as I am, but in some way, we should be vocally and verbally calling out and speaking out our love for the Lord and how great our God is, how wonderful He is. People ought to hear us saying it. Amen. People ought to know how we feel. I want you to know today there are no Secret Service agents in the kingdom. Amen. There's a lot of people that want to go undercover. Hallelujah. But I want to say it again. There are no Secret Service agents in the kingdom. People ought to know who we serve, why we serve Him, how much we love Him. He is due our praise. He is worthy of our praise today. Amen. And if we tell somebody how much we love our spouse, or how much we love our mamas, or how much we love our kids, even more so should we be able to lift up our voice and tell this world how much we love our Father. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. If you begin to study the Word of the Lord with that word praise, you'll find that this is not my idea, but it is the Word of the Lord that teaches us. Anytime you begin to look at praise, you find that when you go back to the root of that word, you will find that it is always an outward expression. Now, it may be different things. If you look at the word, just the word praise, in different places in the Bible, if you go back to the root of it, a lot of times the root may be something different. But every single time, it is an outward expression. Amen. And you say, what's so important about being outward about? Well, I'm just going to tell you because it's exciting. Notice here. Forgive me. Y'all don't have a clock. That makes me think y'all aren't concerned a whole lot with the time. But I will keep my eye on it, so don't panic. But I have no idea what time I started. So I'll try to hurry though. But listen now. I got to show you this because this is so important. And it says, in verse 25, if you go back to verse 25 at the end, and it says, and the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them praying and they heard them singing praise to the Lord. You say, what's important about that? Well, that's kind of what we're talking about. Let me go a little bit further. The prisoners heard them doing that, and the prisoners also began to realize that suddenly and immediately, that's in verse 26, suddenly and immediately, doors began to open and chains began to fall off. You know what that lets us know today? That the prisoners who were in that prison, they started looking around and said, you're not going to believe it. I believe they started going, hey, hey, my chains are falling off. They were asking their friends in there, hey, are your chains up? My chains are falling. My door's opening. Hey, what's going on in here? Do you realize it all started happening when they started praising their God? Up until then, I had chains all around me. Up until then, I was in bondage. But all of a sudden, when the praises started going up to their God, things began to happen, and it even began to change my life. What does that mean today? It means that praise will not only affect you, but praise will begin to affect people who are around you, who are in the same house with you, who are in the same work area that you're in. When you begin to sing praises unto the Lord, I'm telling you, chains begin to break, strongholds begin to be annihilated, and I can promise you today, you say, well, I don't feel like praising Him. Well, here's the deal. It doesn't all have to do with you anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not all about you anyway. There might be somebody on your left or on your right that needs to be loosed and freed. And God is looking for you to give Him the praise that will shake the foundations. Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel fired up this morning. Y'all are easy to preach to, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. But let me show you what else begins to take place. To me, it is so wonderful. It says, and the keeper, verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep, and he began to see the prison doors open. It said he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Do you know what a big deal that is? That is huge. And the reason, notice, it didn't say that the doors were unlocked. It said that the doors were open. Amen. So he looks down through there and he sees all the doors open. And when he did, so when the Lord does the job, he doesn't barely do it. Amen. He doesn't just give you a little shake there, but I'm telling you, the doors went and they opened right up. Amen. And notice what happens. He said, all the prison doors are open. That's what praise will do in your life. Amen. It'll fling the doors wide open. And notice what happens. He says, I'm going to kill myself. They're going to kill me anyway. I might as well kill myself. I know everybody in this place is gone. And I love this right here. But it says in verse 28, but Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm. We're all still here. Amen. I'm telling you, I've read that over and over and over, and I can't tell you how long it took me to really grab what was going on there. I want you to make a note of this. They had murderers in there possibly. They had thieves in there possibly. They had rapists in there possibly. I don't know who all was in there. They had all kinds of people in that prison. The chains had come off and the doors had swung open. In other words, they had the very opportunity that they had probably been hoping for, that somehow they would be freed from that prison. Somehow somebody would help them to escape. They had the perfect opportunity to get out of that prison. So when Paul said, don't sweat it, we're all still here, something began to ring in my mind. I thought, what in the world? Why would they all still be there? I'm telling you, there's a truth here that will just absolutely, it thrills my heart. I'll tell you why those people were there. It was because something began to take place. The Bible teaches us that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. So when we begin to praise the Lord moves down into that praise. In other words, when we begin to praise Him, God comes into that place. And so when they begin to praise Him in that prison, God shows up right in the middle of that prison. And those men begin to look around and they said, we can run, but there's something going on here. There's a peace in my heart that I've never felt before. There is something going on here. There's a joy in here that I've never felt on drugs. There is a freedom in here that I've never felt when I was walking the street somewhere. There is something going on right here in this prison cell that I've never felt before. You say, what do you mean? The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And one of my favorite verses is this. It lets me know that in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And so I can tell you in that prison cell, even though their chains had fallen off, they said, we're not going anywhere. We've never felt a drug that makes us feel like this. We've never been in a relationship that makes me feel like this. Hallelujah. They said, we've made a decision. We're going to stay where God's at. Amen. I'm telling you today, it's what this world is looking for. They're looking for the real thing. They're looking for the overflowing presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. That's what God wants to do in our lives today. Woo! Hallelujah! Let me show you what the Word says. Hallelujah! Woo! No, oh, let me just say this real quickly. I think about it. Sometimes people go, we just can't figure it out. And don't get me wrong, I don't have any problem with this. People say, I don't know how to keep our guests. I don't know how to keep people coming to the church. They come, they go. They come, they go. Oh, well, if we give them a jar of jam, maybe they'll come back. You know what I mean? If we bake cookies and have fresh cookies, oh, maybe they'll come back. If we give them a little gift, and all that's good and fine. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you, the greatest thing that'll draw them back is not a jar of strawberry jam. It's the presence of the Lord. It is the presence of God Almighty. Hallelujah. That's what people are hungry for and desperately searching for in this dark world that we live in. Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's what this world's looking for. They're searching desperately. They so want to know this great God Jehovah. Amen. And you and I have the answer today. You and I have the answer. And notice who wasn't praising the Lord. It was the two men that knew Him so well. A lot of times people say, well, if we can just get everybody to praise Him. And that's all good and fine. But I find in this prison, there were only two men worshiping. But I find everybody around them were loosed and set free. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Now let me go on a little bit further, and I'm about to close, but look, notice what happens. Verse 29, the jailer, it says, then he called for a light. I'll tell you, I remember the first time the Lord showed me that. It says, then he called for the light. I don't believe it was just any old light he was looking for. Amen. Jesus said, He's the light. Amen. Jesus is the light. And I look at that jailer. He said, bring me the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bring me a light, he said. And sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. You say, how do you think? Why do you think that? Well, because the next verse says, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Nobody had to coax them. Nobody had to coerce them. Nobody says, hey, come on. Don't you want to know Jesus as your Savior? I'm telling you, it's just the almighty presence of the Lord there in that place that drew them. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost began to draw them to salvation. And immediately he said, what can I do to be saved? What can I do to have a change in my life? And then notice what the scripture says. I love this.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's it. Thou shalt be saved. But I'm so thankful that Paul and Silas didn't put a period right there. Thou shalt be saved and your house. Amen. And your, he didn't even ask about his whole family. He didn't even ask him, but they already knew. They said, I'll tell you, this will change you and it'll change your family too. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you today, he's still that same wonderful Lord. This God we're talking about, he'll change you and he'll change your family too. This God that's good for grandma and grandpa is also good for mama and daddy. It's also good for the kids and the grandkids. It's good if you're single. He's good if you've already been through a divorce and going through a hard place in your life. I want you to know he's such a wonderful God that no matter who you are and where you are and what you've been through, he says, I want to be a God to you and you be my people. Amen. Woo. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what happens in this scripture. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. And notice in verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And to all that were in his house. Amen. They began to preach to the whole house. I love that. And notice what happens in 33. This thrills me. You say, how do you know he got saved? Because verse 33 says, and he took them the same hour of the night. And washed their stripes. And was baptized. He and all of his straightway. Notice what he did. There came a change in his life. At first he was thrusting them into prison. At first he was putting his feet in stocks. At first he was possibly putting a spear behind their backs. Now he said, I want to be kind. I'm compassionate. There'll be a change. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm telling you, there will be a change in your life. He said, come on in. We want to take care of you. We want to wash you off good. We want to bandage you. We want to take care of you. I want to say it again. There will be a change in your life when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's what happened to him. The jailer, his entire house. But I don't believe it stopped there. I believe everybody in that prison. I do. I believe it said in the natural that all their chains fell off and all their bondages came off. But I believe many times when the Bible's talking about the physical, that there is also a spiritual correlation. And I believe that they had a mighty revival. Because of two men that made a decision that I'm in a dark place. I don't have an organ playing. I don't have a guitar playing or drums playing or keyboard playing. But I'm telling you, I'm just going to go ahead and praise him anyway. Because two men made a decision that I'm in a winter season in my life. I'm in a valley season of my life. But I'm going to choose to praise the Lord. And when he did, when they did, the changes begin to take place. Will you help me to close? I want us to think about it for just a minute. Whew. Goodness, that we could preach all day long here. Amen. I might have to have a transfusion before it's over, but my goodness. But thank the Lord for his presence here. And the Lord is speaking to us. See, because this is what I find out about praise. I find that praise, there is power in our praise. There's some other things. I've got some notes up here and I've not really went to them yet. So let me just kind of hit them real quick. I find that praise will shut the mouth of the devil. Amen. If you go to Psalms chapter 8, you find it. Praise will silence the enemy every time. You say, Beth, I just wish the devil would leave me alone. Then start praising the Lord. Amen. Just start glorifying God. I can promise you when you begin to open up your mouth and begin to declare that Jesus is Lord, he is Lord, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead and he is Lord. I can tell you what it does. It puts the devil on the run. Amen. You find that when Jesus was in the wilderness, do you remember that? He's in the wilderness and he begins to speak back to the enemy who kept tempting him. He kept giving him the word of the Lord. And the Bible says that Satan left him for a season. When you begin to speak the word of God, to sing his praises, to glorify God, it will put the enemy on the run. Amen. I can tell you, praise will silence the devil. Some of you have been tormented in your mind. But it's not because of anything going on there except the devil's doing his job. And possibly you're not doing your job. Amen. The Lord's called us to do. Praising will turn the atmosphere around in your house. It will. You say, my kids are crazy. They're just going crazy. They're out of control. Turn that TV off. I'm telling you, try it. I know. I don't want to get crazy at the end, but here I got to tell y'all this. You need to turn that TV off. You need to get rid of YouTube. Amen. And you need to start singing the praises of the Lord. You need to start declaring how good God is. Amen. If you feel like things are out of control in your house, I'm telling you, you might ought to look at what's going on in the atmosphere of your home. And you begin to change the atmosphere by worshiping the Lord and glorifying God. Just try it. Try it and see if things don't happen. Amen. You begin to praise the Lord. I'm telling you, it sets us up for miracles. It does. It sets us up for miracles. We begin to glorify the Lord. I want to ask you today, let's stand on our feet if you would. And I want to ask you in this place today, you say, Beth, I know his name. I was raised in church. I'm familiar with some of the things you're even talking about. But do I have a relationship with him? And the answer may be no for some of you. You may say, Beth, I've been in church, I know the songs, I know all of that, but I do not have a true relationship with the Lord. I see something going on in your life. I see something even while you're preaching. I sense the moving of the Spirit in this place. And it just doesn't seem like that I have what I'm seeing in some other people around me in this church. I want a relationship with God. There's a lot of people, I found this over time, Pastor, I'm sure you've realized it a long time ago. But I've begun to realize something. I can say, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? People go, oh yeah, I know him as my Lord and Savior. But they have no relationship with him. They have no abiding presence of the Lord in their lives. So I try to say it a little bit different sometimes. I want to ask you, is God on the throne of your life? Is he number one? Is he truly in the position of the Lord of your life? Do you consider him first above everything else? And if you say, no, Beth, I can't say that I do that. I let other things take precedence over my relationship with the Lord, then I'm talking to you today. I'm not asking if you know his name. I'm not asking you if you come to this church regularly. I'm asking you, is he the Lord of your life? One great writer, Henry Blackaby, I believe it was, he said, if he is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. No one looking for just a moment. Would you just bow your heads? Maybe you're like that jailer. You say, Beth, I feel something happening in this place. And I want to know him like I see that pastor knows him. I want to know him like I see something happening that you know him and other people around me. I want to know him like that. I'm telling you, the Lord is here for you to know him in just that way. No one looking for just a moment. If you say, Beth, that's me. I want to truly make him the Lord of my life. Would you just slip your hand up as high as you can and you can put it right back down. Amen. I see your hand. Thank you. Amen. You can put it right back down. Thank you. Anybody else right now that you say, Beth, would you pray for me? Anybody here that says, I'm just not where I need to be with the Lord, Beth. I'm just not where I need to be with the Lord. Thank you. I see your hand. Maybe you say there. Thank you. I see your hand. Maybe you say, Beth, I love him and I don't mind even telling people that I love him. But really and truly, I've been riding the fence. I've been going backwards and forwards. I've been doing things in my life that certainly opposite of what the word of the Lord teaches me that I need to be doing. I want him to be the Lord of my life. Anybody else right now that you just slip your hand up? Amen. Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else right now that you just raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you if that helps you at all. I won't embarrass you. I won't put you on the spot. I won't do that today. I'm going to give an altar call for a moment for all of us to come. But today the Lord is speaking to some hearts right here. And you've just been going back and forth. But the Lord is saying, today is your day. Now is your time. Is there anybody else right now that you'd say, pray for me, Beth? Pray for me, Beth. Amen. I see your hand. Pray for me, Beth. I'm away from the Lord. I'm in a difficult place in my life. I love him, but I'm not where I need to be. Come on. The Lord's dealing with your heart. Help me pray, church. I'm telling you, I feel like the Lord is moving in some hearts right here. Amen. I see your hand. Thank the Lord. Is there anybody else? The Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord for you. I see your hand. You feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. You said, maybe it's just emotionalism. Maybe I've just got to get caught up in things. No, I can tell you what it is. It's the love of God reaching to where you are today. And he's calling your name out. Is there anybody else right now that you say, I'm ready to surrender it all? I'm ready to surrender it all. Amen. Thank you. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I see your hand. Thank the Lord. Anybody else today? Thank you, Jesus. And I want to ask one more question today. And I'm going to open up these altars for every one of us to come forward in just a moment. But if you're here and you say, Beth, I'm a believer. I know I'm a believer, but I'm just going to be honest with you. There's some things that seems like it has stolen my praise. I have been going through a season in my life that's been one of the hardest seasons, one of the darkest seasons, and I feel like that my praise has just about been sucked right out of me. And today I need restoration in my heart. Or maybe it's here, you're here, and you say, Beth, it's not that, it's just the cares of this life that seems to have me in the undertow. And I just need some air. I just need a break. I just need the Lord to move in my life where I can have a fresh praise on my lips. Is there anybody here right now that you'd say, Beth, that's me, pray for me? Would you raise your hands up high? Amen. I see a number of hands today. I'm going to ask you then on the count of three, if you don't mind. And if you're afraid to come by yourself, I don't believe you are. But just in case if you are, you can ask somebody to come with you. We don't care a bit. And Pastor and I and the leadership of this church, we're going to come down and we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to believe God with you. I want us to come and kneel around this altar this morning. And let's begin to call on the name of the Lord. One, two, three. Would you come right now out of your seats? That's right. Come right now and let's get in this altar. If you're able to kneel, you can please kneel. If you're not able to kneel, then you're welcome to stand. But God is here in this place to move. God is here in this place to set free. God is here in this place to deliver. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is here. The Lord is here today. Amen. It is in this place that he's here to deliver you. He's here to deliver you in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, Pastor, if you'll help me. Any of the leadership in this church, you know who you are. We're going to begin just to lay hands on people. And we're believing, God, that this will be your time. This will be your a restoration, a wholeness. Son of a son.
Praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise.